I'm Scott Cullen, and welcome to the Locked On Fantasy Hockey Podcast on the Locked On Podcast Network. You need more hockey news, and Locked On NHL is here to fill the gap. It's our daily podcast on everything happening in the National Hockey League. Subscribe and listen each day for a quick look at the biggest stories and game recaps during the season. Subscribe to Locked On NHL today, wherever you get podcasts. Today we're going to continue with our off-season reports. Only the second one, but I promise these will pick up a little bit faster now. So we've done the Winnipeg Jets, we're going to the Washington Capitals, working our way in reverse order alphabetically, just to do something a little bit different. And so let's look at the state of the Washington Capitals at this point of the offseason. Let's start out with the forwards. Well, first line looks all right. You've got Alex Ovechkin, 730 career goals. He's led the league in goals in 7 of 8 years prior to last season when he scored 24 in 45 games. And, you know, missing 11 games in a 56-game schedule actually kind of stands out for Ovechkin, who is incredibly durable. And so hopefully, I mean, part of he missed some games for COVID violations, and hopefully that's not a thing that carries on. But if we're running into a stage of his career, because he's now in his mid-30s, that Ovechkin might start missing games with injuries, suddenly that can really change the complexion here for Washington. Again, it's not a panic situation just based on last season, but at least something to keep an eye on, because you know you start to take it for granted that a guy's going to be in the lineup when he is almost every day for 15 years, and then you know, he ends up missing almost 20% of the season last year, and if that trend kind of continues, then suddenly things can start going downhill. As it is, I think you have to still appreciate the value of having a guy who knows how to pull the trigger as well as anybody ever when it comes to scoring goals. Nicholas Backstrom at center is still productive and elite playmaker, who is a huge part of the Capitals' power play. And not only is Backstrom a great playmaker and a nice complement to Ovechkin, but he's a really sound defensive player. A few years back, he was probably a viable Selke Trophy candidate. I don't think he's quite at that level now, but still a very solid two-way player. And really, as long as Backstrom and Ovechkin are healthy and productive, they're going to kind of keep pushing this team towards being a playoff team / contender. And that's kind of where the team is geared towards, right? Is that as long as Ovechkin and Backstrom are playing at a high level, then you support, you know, this team kind of pushing for it to contend now. If any of that starts to tail off, well, then that might change the calculation to some degree. But Ovechkin and Backstrom, you know, same old in many respects, even if as they're in their mid-30s, decline is starting to kick in. Then we've got Tom Wilson, who is, you know, one of the great menaces on the ice, but he's also a menace that basically any other team would be happy to have. He has a rare ability to intimidate physically while also contributing offensively. He can skate really well, and I think back to when Wilson was early in his career and he was playing on the fourth line for Washington. You know, he'd be out there with Michael Latta, and they'd wreak havoc on the forecheck, and you could see that there was something more there, that Wilson could do more than just be a fourth liner, and he is. He's certainly a nice complementary piece up higher in the Washington lineup. You would just, you know, you would like about two or three fewer incidents a year involving Wilson and some of the mayhem he causes out there, and so, but you know, for the Capitals as a team with you know, high hopes of doing things in the playoffs, it's nice to have a bruiser like Wilson who can also score for you. Let's move on to the second line, where they've got Anthony Mantha, newly acquired from the Red Wings when they sent Jakub Vrána to Detroit at the deadline. And, you know, Mantha's a big and talented winger, but he's also a guy who, throughout his career, has kind of needed some prodding to bring out his best. But if you can get him engaged, he has a really high ceiling. I mean, he's a guy who's 6'5", who can play a physical game and can finish. So, in you know, if everything's going right, Anthony Mantha could be a 30-goal scorer for the Capitals. But it probably is going to take a little bit of prodding and you know, need some kind of connection, I guess, with his line mates. And so at center, you've got Evgeny Kuznetsov, who is coming off a disappointing season and probably was considered trade bait into the offseason, but coming off a season when he had 29 points in 41 games, there probably wasn't a huge bidding war because there's four more years left on Kuznetsov's deal. He's become a risk at this point. And so now this is a real crossroads kind of situation where for the Capitals, you know, they need Kuznetsov to come back and be the productive player that he was, you know, when they won the Stanley Cup, a guy who really, you know, creates a ton offensively and makes his line mates better. And if that happens, well, then, you know, the ceiling gets automatically raised for the Capitals. If you have Kuznetsov, you know, creating a bunch and setting up plays and his wingers get to benefit from that, well, then you can look at Washington's top six and think that there's going to be a lot of damage done there. But if Kuznetsov kind of, you know, stumbles his way through a season like he did last year, then the questions get louder about where this team can go. Then we've got TJ Oshie on the right side there on that second line. He's a consistent scorer, and he has become really lethal on the power play, which has helped kind of overshadow his decline in 5-on-5 scoring. But he's also scored more than 20 goals in five of the past six seasons. And when you consider that the past two seasons have been shortened, that's even more impressive. And Oshie is a solid veteran who at times, like when their injuries kick in or whatever and they need somebody to fill in at center, he can do that. So yeah, he's a nice valuable piece in the top six for Washington. And then we move on to the third line where Connor Sherry is a, you know, small undersized winger, but has kind of consistently provides secondary level offense. You go the past three seasons, he has 14 goals, 10 goals, 14 goals. And with a solid defensive impacts in addition to that, that there's kind of a niche found here for Connor Sherry. And, you know, he's skilled enough that you can move him up the lineup if need be. You know, it just, he's never really going to duplicate what he did in his kind of one prime season with the Penguins, where he played on Sidney Crosby's wing for the whole time. And that's the, that should be understandable that if you're playing on the third line with Lars Eller as your center, that you're not necessarily going to be putting up those kinds of numbers. And but it's entirely useful to have a guy like Connor Sherry playing in your top nine. Then Lars Eller, as we say, who's an excellent two-way center, has been really good in a third line role, but is also skilled enough that you can move him up the lineup, which with Kuznetsov missing time with injuries, the Capitals did that some last year. And even if they want to kind of send a message to Kuznetsov, they can move Eller up from time to time as well, because Eller has, you know, improved his offensive game somewhat at this stage of his career. And not that he's going to become a huge scorer. For one, he doesn't really have much of a power play role, but he is a nice number three center for a contending team. On the right side of that third line, I guess I'm looking at Daniel Sprong. I am not entirely sold on Sprong, and I guess part of it is he's still trying to carve out a spot as a legitimate NHL player, because we know he has legitimate NHL finishing talent. Like, as a scorer, he can shoot, he can put the puck in the net, and I mean that's why he's getting these chances to stick in the league. I guess the hope here for Washington is that you could round out Sprong's all-around game and make him a bit more of a complete player, and then you would feel okay because you'd be reaping the rewards of his offensive ability in addition to getting a decent all-around player. I think a third line of Sherry, Eller, and Sprong is okay. There are some questions, I suppose, when it comes to having Sprong in that spot. But if the top two lines are rolling for the Capitals, you can probably get by with that third line as is. But it also might be a spot that you're looking to upgrade. To the fourth line, where we've got Carl Hagelin on the left side, speedy veteran winger who's declining, but still probably useful in a checking role. He has played 141 playoff games in his career, which is tied with Alex Ovechkin for 10th among active skaters. So Hagelin is experienced and a quality checking winger. He's fine there. Nick Dowd is pretty nice fourth line center. Holds his own in terms of possession, at least when you consider the lopsided offensive zone starts. I think Dowd had like 15% offensive zone starts last year or something. So, he chipped in a little bit offensively as well. Now, not a high ceiling by any stretch, but entirely fine in that fourth line role. And Garnet Hathaway on the right side, who's really effective as a fourth line forward, guy who hits a lot and can agitate a little bit and keeps the puck moving in the right direction. And, you know, you have kind of modest expectations, I suppose, of a fourth line. And if they are, you know, pushing the puck the right way, maybe contribute a little bit offensively, don't get beat up defensively, then, you know, that's solid. And certainly this group here for the Capitals is good enough as a fourth line. Now, the wild card for their forward group might be Connor McMichael. And you know, maybe he slides in on a third line spot there, and that changes the complexion of things. But McMichael is their top prospect, and we'll talk about him more when we get to the prospect portion. But he's the one guy who might shake up that top 12 up front. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Baseball season's in full swing. You can track all the action at BetOnline. Get the latest news, odds, and info for all your sporting needs. And that includes Major League Baseball, but also NBA, NHL, NFL, and UFC MMA action. For the next pitch, head over to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device. Check out the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. This is your chance to get into the game as teams prep for their runs to the playoffs. Head to the website, betonline.ag, or use your mobile device to sign up today. Receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. You put in $500, they drop another $250 into your account. Use promo code LOCKEDON at BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Do you know that 85% of people who play daily fantasy sports lose? Is it really that surprising? The game is rigged against you. You're playing against thousands of other lineups, not to mention experts who have more tools and more time. You don't stand a chance. Introducing Stat Hero. It's the first ever daily fantasy sports book that puts the player in control and winning within reach. Here's how it works. Stat Hero shows you their lineups and dares you to beat them. It's you versus the house in a head-to-head fantasy matchup. You name your stakes. Winner take all. You have the advantage. Stat Hero is showing you their lineups ahead of time. No one else does that. You are in total control. Stat Hero is DFS the way it was meant to be. One-on-one. Play Stat Hero now and change the odds. Go to stathero.com/lockedon, sign up for free, and right now you can get 3x back on your first play. They're giving you a 300% match. That's unheard of. Go to stathero.com/lockedon. That's stathero.com/lockedon. So now let's check out the defense for the Washington Capitals. And got big John Carlson, who's a big scorer from the point. 189 points in 201 games over the past three seasons. Still not great defensively. Not abysmal defensively, but he's not the kind of guy that you put out there in a shutdown role to lock down the other team's top forwards. Not everybody can kind of do it all. But you know, Carlson is a good puck mover and great at quarterbacking the Capitals' power play from the point. And so, whatever flaws there might be in his game, I think, on the whole, he's still a net positive for Washington. Now, Dmitry Orlov, a really effective all-around blue liner who doesn't maybe get the credit because he doesn't pile up points on the power play, but he's a strong skater, plays a physical game. Now, his ice time was down a bit last season, but with the departure of Brendan Dillon to Winnipeg, pretty good chance, I think, that Orlov's ice time is about to bounce back up next season. Justin Schultz, who is the veteran, is a decent puck-moving defenseman, had trouble staying healthy, and I think when it comes to his defensive performance, can be very hit and miss. When you go through the video, you will see some gaffes defensively by Schultz that are you know, terrible. But then you've seen him have success during his career, like when the Penguins were winning Stanley Cups, where he more than held his own in the defensive zone. So I think at this stage of his career, you know you're going to get some defensive flaws out of Justin Schultz, but if he's healthy, his ability to move the puck you know, still makes him a net positive as well. Michael Kempney, who missed all of last season with an Achilles tear, but he if he's healthy, he should return in a top four role, likely for the Capitals. And, you know, maybe to partner him again with Carlson, where they had some relative success previously. And, you know, Kempney isn't particularly exciting as a player, but a solid veteran, maybe with limited upside. But you can kind of plug him in there. And now, is there a drop-off if Michael Kempney's playing in the minutes with Brendan Dillon gone? Yes, because I think Dillon was very effective in a shot-suppressing role for the Caps last season. But, you know, sometimes you have to, you know, save money in one area to spend it elsewhere. And if that's the case, well, then you just hope that Kempney can, you know, be healthy and fill in at least one spot on that Washington blue line. Then we move down to what would be the third pair, I guess, with Nick Jensen, who's a steady right shot defenseman, does not contribute very much offensively, but Jensen is a solid veteran, not outrageously expensive, and so he's fine there. The Capitals also protected Trevor Van Riemsdyk, and so by those plans, I guess Trevor Van Riemsdyk might fit onto the third pair. Now we'll talk about that more in a bit. He did not play very much for the Capitals last season, and as a right shot defenseman, you could be running a pair of two right shot defensemen on the third pair, which is fine. There's no reason to get kind of worried about that. Just I also wonder whether there might be spots for some other defensemen to climb into their mix on defense. But Trevor Van Riemsdyk is a very inexpensive depth defenseman. Now, also in the mix is Matt Irwin, who's a veteran defenseman who, if we go through this group and you say, okay, well, we've got a top six, and Irwin could maybe hold down the seventh spot until the prospects are ready to kind of push their way into the lineup. And that's probably where it stands. But Irwin has been outscored 46-23 over the past two seasons, playing in Nashville, Anaheim, and Buffalo. He's not likely to have a big impact on Washington's lineup. Now to the goaltending, where Ilya Samsonov is probably going to get the first crack at the starting job. He didn't really step up to handle it last season. Henrik Lundqvist, when Lundqvist had heart trouble that prevented him from playing last year, there was an opportunity there for Samsonov to jump in and kind of establish that he's not the number one goalie of the future, but the number one goalie of the present for the Capitals. And he just did not. And when he played, he was mediocre at best, had a .902 save percentage in 19 games. But I think given his pedigree, Samsonov still is the one that the Capitals would view as their goaltender of the future, and in this case, that they would expect him to be the goaltender of the present. And if Samsonov can't handle it, then Vitek Vanecek will probably continue to get a bunch of playing time. He was a real pleasant surprise for Washington last year. Played 37 games, which was way more than would have been expected. Had a .908 save percentage, which is okay, not ideal. But as I said, they probably had no expectation of Vanecek to play as much as he did last season. And so the Capitals reacquired him after initially losing Vanecek to Seattle in the expansion draft. Now, they used some pretty savvy work by trading Brendan Dillon to Winnipeg and for two second-round picks, and then dealing a second-round pick to Seattle to get Vanecek. And so the combination of Samsonov and Vanecek should be fine in goal for the Capitals, but, you know, there is some risk there. You've got young guys, neither of whom has, you know, really established that they're a legit number one goaltender in the National Hockey League. So if neither one can do that again this year, well, then that could pose a problem. But we'll look at special teams and top prospects and where we might think the Capitals are headed after this. Built Bar is a protein bar that tastes like a candy bar, and they have a bunch of delicious flavors. Should be something for everyone here. They've got coconut and cherry barcia and raspberry and mint brownie, double chocolate, salted caramel, strawberry, orange, cookies and cream, and German chocolate. That is a wide variety. There really should be something that you like out of there. My favorite is salted caramel. I dig the sweet and the salty combination all at once. But if you would like to, you can get a mixed box from Built Bar where you sample two of each of those flavors. decide which ones you like best, and then order more of those. And you know, you have these great flavors covered in 100% chocolate, so it tastes like a great snack. And they're healthy too. They are loaded with protein, low in calories, low in sugar, low in carbs. And Built Bar is the official protein bar of the U.S. track and field team. Go to built.com. Use promo code LOCKED15. You'll get 15% off your order. That is promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com. So as we look at special teams for the Washington Capitals, surprisingly enough, I guess that their power play over the past three seasons has been slightly better than average during 5-on-4 play. They're 15th in shots per 60 minutes. 52 shots, 13th in goals per 60, 6.97, and 13th in expected goals per 60, 6.53. So, yes, it's okay. It's not some egregious problem, but you know, given the track record of the Washington Capitals power play, this is actually probably a bit of a decline from where they were. I guess during peak Ovechkin years, and you know, maybe the fact that you have the same spot to hit Ovechkin on the power play, maybe teams are starting to catch up to it 15 years in. In any case, so the power play numbers at 5-on-4 are, like I say, just a little bit better than average. You have the personnel for it, so I wouldn't be terribly concerned. Maybe you need to mix things up a little to get more consistent results. But the penalty kill during 4-on-5 play has actually been quite solid over the past three seasons. So over the past 3 years, the Capitals are fourth in shot attempts against, just 84.6. They're first in shots on goal against, 42.4. Eighth in goals against, 6.27. And fifth in expected goals against, 5.67. So even if their goaltending has not quite lived up to the rest of it in terms of 4-on-5 penalty killing, overall Washington's still very effective at 4-on-5, and so you have to I would say not worry about that part of the game so much. It looks like you've got the penalty killing on lockdown, and strangely enough, maybe it's the power play that needs a little bit of a little juice. But you know, when you look at the remaining needs for this Capitals team as we sit here in the offseason, there are no glaring holes. You probably have question marks in goal, but I think if you've got Samsonov and Vanecek, that's a tandem that you can run with into the season and see where it takes you. But that is basically the one question mark. And then you look at prospects, guys who might have a chance to step in and make a difference in this lineup. And so there's center Connor McMichael, who had 27 points in 33 games at Hershey in the American Hockey League last season. You know, producing like that as a 19-year-old in the American Hockey League, that's something that would suggest that he's ready for a shot in the National Hockey League. And whether that comes right away this year or whether he has to spend a little more time in the AHL first, he should be expected to make an appearance with the Capitals this season. Then we've got a couple of defensemen. There's Alexander Alexeyev, who was productive both in the KHL and in the AHL last season. And if you're if you're looking at what he did, he scored eight goals, had 8 assists in 55 games for Ufa in the KHL, but he also had 9 points and was plus 11 in 12 games for Hershey in the American Hockey League. And so if you're the Capitals and looking to inject a little bit of youth onto your blue line, certainly Alexeyev might be ready for a shot, and if not immediately, maybe at some point during this season. Same goes for Martin Fejervary, who has played a little bit with the Capitals, but in 24 games in the AHL last season, he had 17 points, was plus 10, and really that I suppose is the chance here for the Capitals to add a little bit of youthful exuberance to their blue line, is that Alexeyev and Fejervary could be in that mix. And if between McMichael, Alexeyev, and Fejervary, if they're regulars in the Washington lineup and perform well, well then, you know, that might kind of upgrade the outlook for this team coming into the season. Another couple prospects to consider: there's right winger Brett Leeson, who had 20 points in 33 games for Hershey, 6'5" winger, who was kind of a late bloomer in the Western Hockey League, but he might be worth a look, as well as center Garrett Pilon, who had 16 points in 14 games for Hershey last season. So Now we come to the end of it. What are the Washington Capitals right now? They a playoff team, championship contender. At this point, I'd say a playoff team. I'm skeptical right now that they're a championship contender, but that's not impossible. If the goaltending comes through, if Kuznetsov bounces back, and a couple of the young players step up, and whether that's McMichael or Alexeyev, then I could see a chance for the Capitals to get into the Cup contender mix. At the same time, if none of those things happen, if Kuznetsov continues to struggle and the goaltending is still a question mark and none of the young guys are quite ready, and then maybe you run the risk that injuries or decline starts to hit with guys like Ovechkin and Backstrom. Well, if all of those things happen, well, I guess it's conceivable that the playoffs aren't guaranteed either. But I think the most likely scenario is that the Capitals are a playoff team. And then, they probably need a little something extra if they're going to go from being a playoff team to a Cup contender. And maybe that something extra is just young guys taking a step forward, and whether that's Samsonov in goal or the prospects like McMichael, Alexeyev, and Fairbairn, they need a little something more. They can't just kind of be the mostly the same team that they have rolled out in the past couple of seasons and just expect that that team can go win a Stanley Cup again. These are first world issues to be complaining about a very likely playoff team and whether or not they are a Cup contender or not. That will do it for today. We will continue on. Next up is the Vegas Golden Knights. Also check out the Locked On Fantasy Baseball podcast for a season that is actually in progress. Check out both these podcasts on Apple, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, Odyssey, wherever you get your podcasts. Stay locked in with Locked On Fantasy Hockey, your daily source for fantasy news and analysis. Betting on the National Hockey League doesn't have to be a guessing game if you listen to the new Locked On Bets podcast hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling. Get daily picks, blowout specials, wrong team favorite picks, and Lee Sterling's Lock of the Day. Follow the Locked On Bets podcast, brought to you by betonline.ag, wherever you get podcasts.